Greetings to you all, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. For those of you that may not know, or those that are live streaming, or our brother and sister John and Deborah Yates, you know, they lost their house in a fire. And my wife and I went over there to go talk to them. And John, they're both okay. They weren't there. They were out celebrating their anniversary, and they were out of town. When they got back to town, they had received the news that their house had burned down. So it's very, very unfortunate. John showed me some pictures. Their loss is just about complete. I mean, they recovered a few things out of their house, but if the fire didn't get it, the fire hoses did. And so their entire house is, I mean, he showed me their AC unit was inside their kitchen. Their entire roof had fallen down. Deborah had purchased a new car not too long ago. The house had fallen down on top of their new car. I mean, they literally had the clothes on their back is what they've got. And they've covered a few things. I just went over there not too long ago, just about 20 minutes ago, and they were trying to wash their clothes, and they pulled the clothes out of the washer, and they still smelled like smoke. So, I mean, they're trying to just piece things together. So, actually have a quick scripture I want to read prior to getting into our study here. It's found in Galatians in the 6th chapter, second verse. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." If we skip down to 9 and 10, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Our brother and sister have a great burden. And I made some requests for the church to help them out some, but I don't think that absolves us from individually reaching out and helping them. So I would admonish you to look at what you can do. I mean, they have lost everything. And so I would ask, and I would implore you to look. You know, we don't all have money disposable, you know, but we have things, you know. We can make meals, we can give clothing. You know, there's things that we can all do to help them. And I would ask that you would do this, that you would search for something that you can do for John and Deborah. As they have they're under a great burden, and we can, as a body, help that. So I would ask that, please, if you're listening online or live streaming, you can contact myself, or you can contact Adam, our pastor here, and we can help direct any help that you would like to give. So, okay, so now we'll get into our study for the evening. But continuing in our studies that my brother Adam and I are doing is I chose this one, which is we are the Church of Christ, and we believe and paying tithing. And as always, you know, this is an open study. And if you are live streaming, you can text me, or if you have a comment, and there is my number. I've been getting texts after the services, so I know that people are seeing this, and so I'll keep putting it up there. And they're offering support, and they're I think this has been a highly supported and appreciated series that my brother and I are doing. So. So we believe in tithing. If we look in article number 17 in our faith and practice, it says this: "We believe that all men are stewards of their worldly possessions and goods, and are answerable to God for both how they are used and the manner in which they are secured. We believe that all men are also stewards of their time and talents, and are accountable to God for how they are used." And what I'm going to focus on this evening is the next line: "We are to pay tithes and offerings to the church as required by God with the promise of his blessings." We define tithes as 1/10 of our increase. Offerings are donations above and beyond tithes. These tithes and offerings are to be used for the building of the kingdom of God in all nations, bringing all people to Jesus Christ through baptism. So again, there's a little bit more there than just about tithing, but we're going to kind of focus on tithing this evening. And so as it says there, 1/10 of our increase, the word tithe in Hebrew means tenth. That's how we get that. That's how we define that. And so back in the Old Testament, that's where we get that word tithe. And that's what it meant. It meant 10%. So scriptural backing. If we go into Malachi in the third chapter, it's probably one we've all heard before, probably a very common one that's used. Malachi 3 in verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So we have this Malachi, he's telling people, you know, the Israelites at this point in time have really begun to wander away. I think Malachi is the last book written before Christ comes back. You know, there's this gap, and there's this kind of this religious falling away, if you will. And this is one of the things he tells them: I'm going to curse you because you haven't given me tithing. You know, and if you can make the argument, you know, why, you know, everything belongs to God. He doesn't need our money, right? And it's true. He doesn't need what we have. He has everything. So why is it that we have to pay tithing? Well, tithing is something that God, when he sets things up, he sets them up for us, right? And then our brother talked about setting a day aside, you know, talked about the Sabbath day and whatnot. That's the day that we're setting aside for us, right? God doesn't need to rest. He doesn't need that. You know, that's for us. And so tithing, paying this, is for us. You know, it's something that we do. You know, it's not for God. It's something that's for us to keep his church going, to provide for those that have lost, to keep the missionaries going in the fields, keep the lights on, you know, keep the cleaning crew coming. You know, these are all things that our tithes pay for and our offerings pay for. And so when we don't pay them, you know, it says here, and Malachi, he's reprimanding the people. You've robbed of God, you know, taken from him. And it comes with promise, you know, this great promise, you know, bring it in, and I will pour out blessings upon you. And I was researching this. It talked about, you know, the Israelites and they were commanded to pay tithing. You know, when you go back before this, the first tithes, we'll talk about it a little bit, but those first tithes were not commanded. They were just offered, right? It was something, and so it goes all the way back before the Mosaic law, these tithings. And so it goes back a long way. But it's something that comes out of our heart, right? And that's really what tithing is for, right? It's a description of what we are. All right, so continuing on, this is the commandments in Leviticus in the 27th chapter in the 30th verse. "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." If you continue on down, it talks about the animals, right? So back in these times, they gave grains, they gave fruits, they gave of their animals, right? All of their increase that they got. So 10% of their increase, that was given over. And these things had to be taken to, I believe, Jerusalem and deposited there. And they were, so that's where they were given to. Going way back, even before the Levitical law, before the Mosaic law, back in Genesis, in the 14th chapter. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all." And that is where, now it's escaping me. He paid Melchizedek the tithes, right? And he was a priest unto God after God's order, and so Abraham was giving him tithes. And that's way. And then again, that was, I guess, this particular one, they had won a battle, and so Abraham had taken in all these, you know, plunder, if you will, from this battle, and he had given it 10% of it to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Later on, his descendants in Genesis 28, 22, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So again, this is Jacob. I should have wrote that down. I'm guessing. Hopefully I'm right. You can check me if I'm not. But you look at the scripture there, but Jacob paid tithes. Again, he offered this. It wasn't a commandment as of yet. So they desired to give these tithes. They gave a tenth, and they set up this example, right, to follow. So those are all the Old Testament. Now, if we go into the New Testament, there are some references to tithing. Now, this is one of the arguments that people will make, and they'll say that tithing is no longer a requirement, right? God, Jesus came, he fulfilled the law, and in that, he no longer required a 10% payment of your increase. Now, they'll go to other scriptures, and they'll say that, you know, offerings are still required. I think we'll get into those a little bit here. I think I wrote them down. But there is an argument out there that, you know, tithing is no longer required. And so I can understand how they got there when you look at just the Bible, right? So we have some references to the Book of Mormon. I think that'll help clear that up for us a little bit. But in Mark, in the 14th chapter, in the 41st verse, Jesus is at the temple, and he is teaching there. And in the 41st verse, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how much the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. So he's sitting there, he's observing all these people. And they're at the temple, at the treasury, right? So the temple is taking in money, right? So I would assume that would be some type of tithe and or offering. Doesn't say exactly, but they're taking this money in. And Christ in 43 says, and he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Okay, and so Christ makes references. They're paying tithing, or they're paying or giving an offering. And he tells them, like, it's not about the amount, right? It's not about the number. What this is about is it's about your heart, right? It's about how you feel towards God, how you feel towards his church, right? This is an expression that you have. You're willing to give, this widow was willing to give everything that she had at that time. And Christ recognizes that. He says, all these rich people, they gave in far less than what she gave, you know, because he was measuring the heart. He was measuring their desire. And these people threw in, and it didn't hurt them that much, I'm guessing. They had enough to replace it. But she gave everything that she had in her offering. All right, and this is another reference that I kind of, again, kind of draw some conclusions, I guess you can say, because it doesn't actually mention tithing per se. But if you go into Acts in the 6th chapter, right in the first verse, of course, this is after Jesus has ascended and his disciples are going about, they're establishing the church. Acts 6, first verse, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so from what I understand, the Grecians and the Hebrews were actually, they were all Jews, but the Grecians were the ones that were not from Jerusalem. They were not from Israel. They were Jews that were outside. They were scattered and isolated, you know, in the diaspora. And these were ones, they had come back. So they spoke a different language, may have had a little bit different culture, right? And so these Grecians that came in, the Greek-speaking Jews, and there was this difference between how their widows were being treated. The ones that were from Israel were being taken care of, and the ones that were not were being neglected, right? And so they were upset by this, naturally. Hey, you're taking care of your own people, but you're not taking care of us, out of the daily ministration. So when they were taking care of the widows, they would give them the food, they would give them the clothing, the things that they would need. The church was taking care of them, right? And so this is the disciples, their response to this. In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So what they're saying, you know, hey, our job at this time isn't to, you know, serve, as they say, serve tables. And kind of sound like a negative type of connotation there. But it's not what they're saying. Like, hey, our job isn't this. Our job is to spread the gospel. Right? We have to go out. We have to spread the gospel. We have to baptize. That's our job. So they had people called Stephen, and I forget the other, there were 7, I believe. They called him out and said, hey, this is your job. You need to go out and you do this. And they called Stephen. And it says later on that, you know, Stephen was an excellent preacher. He was able to go out and say many things and do many miracles. You know, so he was chosen to take care of this matter, right? So it was his job and those other 6 that were with him to take care of this ministration, right? So my point in this is, like, all right, where were they getting this ministration? Did it just fall out of the sky? You know, it had to come from somewhere. It was ministered by the church, right? So by inference, I'm guessing that they were paying tithes and offerings at this time. They were giving these things to the church. And it wasn't just something that the people had. It was something that they had to set up a committee and they had to dispense these things, right? Because the church had, dominion over it, right? So, in my opinion, and it doesn't say it, but I'm guessing that's what they were dispensing. That's what the daily administration was. They were giving these widows their food for the day, and it was from their tithing and their offerings. And in Hebrews, in the 7th chapter, 4th verse, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave 10th of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham." So again, here's another reference in Hebrews, right, of this tithing that we're talking about, this 10th. And so, again, if you just look at the Bible, you can kind of, I listened to a commentary earlier today, and the preacher, I mean, it made a very good case, like, hey, and this sounded good, right? We don't have to pay tithes anymore. It's not our problem. Now we should give offerings. You know, we should give what we can give. And I think that's the next slide. There we go. Offerings. So this is what he referenced and said, hey, we're not absolved from giving money, but this is what we should do, right? 1 Corinthians in the 16th chapter in the first verse. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So they're taking in this collection. And Paul is telling them, hey, I told this other church over here in Galatia, you must take in this money. And I'm telling you guys, you do it too. It says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So basically say, hey, on Sunday, you need to pass the collection plate. And this is when all this money is going to come in. So you guys need to give these offerings at this allotted time. You know, that way we don't have to gather everybody together and take an offering should there be any. We just have this store, right? We have this money or these things in place already. And so that's the commandment that, you know, hey, we still need to be giving. We still need to be offering. We still need to be taking what God has given us and giving it back. Again, and it's not a tithing is not something that is for us. God set up a tithing. Tithing is not something that's for God. Tithing is something that is for us, right? So that we can dispense these things. We can take care of our brothers and sisters. We can take care of needs that arise. You know, it takes care of us. I've been going on real quick. Does anybody have anything to say? Got in a groove there. Anything to add? My apologies. Nope. All right. Okay, so again, if you just look in the Bible, you can kind of make the case that tithing is no longer a requirement. However, we have the Book of Mormon with this as well. And in 3 Nephi in the 11th chapter, this is when Christ has come back. He is on this land and he has presented himself to this people. And he is talking to them. And he tells them in the 11th chapter in the 9th verse, 3 Nephi, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, when shall we return?" And then Jesus quotes Malachi, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." So Jesus quotes Malachi, right? And so that's very much New Testament. And he starts this off, you know, I do not change, you know, from the days of your fathers, right? These things were given way back in the day. These things were done way back in the day, prior to the law of Moses. You know, these are ordinances that have been given. We are to give tithes. We are to give offerings. And Jesus quotes that, saying, same thing. You know, you've robbed me. Not given these tithes, not given these offerings. You know, let my house be full. And again, it comes with that promise. And if we do these things, he's going to pour out a blessing on us. Right? And there's not even room to receive that blessing. So again, in my mind, that kind of clears things up quite a bit, is that, hey, we are still bound by this law. We're still bound to pay these things because Christ came and reiterated it. For whatever reason, we don't find it this clearly in the Bible in the New Testament, but it's certainly they were giving, and they did make offerings. I don't know if they made tithing, if they were still paying, if they're living in Israel, if they still had to pay tithing to the synagogues and their priesthood there, and then they had offerings to the church. I don't know. It doesn't really say, but they were very obviously giving. And they were very obviously taking care of these things. And so because they had to dispense them, they had to set up these committees, and they had to set people over it, right? So there is giving. Now, as I said before, it's a matter of the heart, okay? Not of the amount. We're looking at the amount, you know, we're thinking about it in the wrong way. But the heart is what matters. So in 2 Corinthians, in the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." And so what this tells me is, like, you know, the harder I work and the more I give to my God, the more I give out of my heart cheerfully, you know, the more I'm going to receive back. Again, it's not for God, it's for us, right? It comes with promise. The more we give, the more we work towards our Heavenly Father, the more He's going to give, and the more He's going to work to us. And I don't want to say that, you know, just because you give money, you're going to get more money, okay? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here, you know, but we're paying into a different type of economy. We're paying into God's economy. If we pay into God's economy, He's going to bless us however He sees fit. So it's not necessarily a one-for-one or a, you know, an investment on our part where we're going to get, hey, I'm going to get this next job that I'm looking for. I'm going to get, you know, I'm not preaching that, you know, you're going to be prosperous if you just give your tithing. I mean, we all are subject to, you know, the economy and inflation, and, you know, things happen, right? And so God is watching us, though. And if he can bless us in other ways besides monetary. And certainly He can do that as well. You know, if we have a mind to earn and give, I think God rewards that. And He'll allow us to earn and give more. Not only that, we're, again, moving towards His grace. His grace will abound within us. Okay. So, I mean, Christ reiterates this. Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint, and of anise, and of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And so, again, that's what we're trying to reiterate the last time in the last scripture, is that it's not about the amount, right? These Pharisees, they would give these very expensive mints and or spices and things, you know, things that were hard to come by. They were very expensive. And so they would give those things, and they were just doing it to show, you know, how great they were. And Christ calls them out on this. You know, you've got it wrong. You haven't been kind. You haven't given judgment, proper judgment. You haven't shown mercy. You haven't shown faith. You're just doing this in front of people, and you have your reward. Now everyone sees that you're giving, right? So you've got what you want. You've got the pride that's within you. You know, that's your reward. And so it's not about the amount, right? It's about the heart. If we go into Proverbs 3 and the 9th verse, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And again, if that first fruits is like the first thing we should be thinking about when we're sitting down, we're doing our bills. So our first fruits, our first bill, our first check should be one of offering or tithing and giving back to God. The very first thing, right? Again, it comes with promise. You're not going to be running out if you're taking care of God. You're thinking of God first. Yes, sister.
Out of me. And I know this is about not about how much they pay, but they didn't pay money.
Right, they didn't pay money.
What's my question? So, does tithing always have to be
monetary? I don't believe so. That's not what the scriptures say. It's the tenth of your increase. All right. So if you're, the way we increase today is we usually get a paycheck. That's how we dealt with one another. Back in these times, it was much more agrarian society, right? So they farmed, they herded, they just had different ways of interacting in commerce. And so, and then part of the reason that they would give these things is, again, they would take care of the orphans, and they would take care of the widows, and the maimed, and those that were handicapped. That's how those people got taken care of. Plus, all the Levites, they didn't have jobs; they were strictly priesthood, and so that's how they were taken care of, were all these tithes and offerings. And so today, again, it's not a requirement that it be money. But if it's of your increase, right? So if you make 10 dresses, well, one of those needs to get, donated, right? If you make, if you have an orange tree and it grows 10 oranges, well, then one of those oranges can get given. And I think in my reading of it, that would satisfy what this is talking about, as long as it went to, the good purpose. So, yes, brother.
His blessings come from every different direction to pour out upon the people that are trying to comply to his teaching and to keep his commandments.
Absolutely. So my brother, for those on live streaming, Brother Hubert said it doesn't always come in monetary form. It can come in blessings of, spiritual blessings and gifts and opportunities. There are other things that, God, other ways God takes care of us with his blessings besides actual money. So,
Aaron, real quick.
Yes, sir.
In regards to Michelle and her question as far as giving, and if you don't have money, is there things that you could give? Can I point you to a few scriptures in Mark chapter 14?
You may.
What's that?
You may.
Yeah, go there. This reminds me of exactly what Michelle is talking about, because there's that woman that has that alabaster box of ointment, that spikenard, and she breaks it and she pours it all over Jesus. And they thought she was crazy because it was worth so much money. And she could have sold that and gave it all to the poor. But Christ said that, "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always." She hath done what she could. And that's, so if you want to read from 3 to 9, that I think that really kind of encompasses what this lady had to offer. And it's what she had, so she wanted to give that. And Christ saw that.
All right, so for those live streaming, my brother brought up in Mark in the 14th chapter, verses 3 to 9, which I'll read. "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And so she had what she had some spikenard, and she went and she administered it to Jesus. And he, again, he blessed her in that and told her that she had done a good work.
And it speaks right to your title here that it was a matter of her heart. Her
right.
heart was exactly
yeah.
in the right place.
Yes, her heart was in the right place. It was a matter of her heart. So I think I have another. All right, so again, matter of the heart. Mosiah 2. I think this is the last scripture I have. So, but Mosiah 2, and this is King Benjamin. He's talking. And he's been dispensing the sermon to his people. And I'm going to take out this little section right here, starting in verse 28. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, this man hath brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent, and except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. So there's this warning, right? And again, I think it goes, not specifically talking about tithing, but it is talking about, you know, this willingness to give, and this willingness to take care of people. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with tithing. You know, our tithing goes in, our offerings go in, and they go to serve a greater purpose other than us. And again, it's to take care of those needs that we have. Continuing on, verse 32, for behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind. And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you, and hath caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouth should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. So he's reminding them, you know, in your heart, if you are not willing to give, you know, God is not willing to give to you. And it tells them, you know, hey, you called on me. You begged for forgiveness, and I gave it to you. You know, you were begging me just as these beggars are begging you. He goes, and I'm going to treat you how you need to be treating these beggars, right? You need to pour out upon them and take care of their needs. I took care of your needs. And it's the same, you know, this reciprocity, the same type of desire in our hearts, right? We need to be able to give and to take care of those that are around us, right? And tithing is a manner of taking care of his church, taking care of his people that are in need, taking care of the work of the gospel, right? Yes, sir.
Two things. One, there was a centurion that you read in Acts.
Yes, he paid alms to the people. Yeah.
When you give your alms, you do it in secret, basically. And your reward would be in heaven. But anyhow, he had a messenger that came to him and said, your alms came before God.
So my brother brought up the centurion. It was Cornelius, wasn't it? Yeah, Cornelius was the centurion. And Peter had a vision of him. Or he had the vision of the eating the unclean beasts. And I think that was the same one, right?
Well, that was and,
but he went to go to see Cornelius. And so, but Cornelius had been giving alms and praying, and God honored that. And so because of that honor, he sent Peter, and Peter, I think when they had, it's kind of a funny conversation, and Peter said, you know, I'm not supposed to come to the Gentiles, but I was told, you know, God told me not to, or to, something about being unclean. It's kind of like a funny statement, but he said, hey, I'm here for you because God told me to be here, you know? And so God honored those alms that Cornelius was giving. And yeah.
He did that from his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was also recorded in the in Paul's writings where Jerusalem started. And so he had commanded those who were in the area, you know, where he was going to Thessalonica and the different places. He said, you know, gather up your stores and I will and send emissaries to take it to Jerusalem to help the brothers in their time of need. So they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. I think that was back in, I think it was in Scripture in Corinthians, correct? Where they had, because that's what they were taking that collection for, was to give back to, they were suffering in Jerusalem. So on the first day, he asked them to give their offerings so that they wouldn't have to make a gathering. They could just, they could go, they would have a supply ready. So, and I'll kind of blaze through that. Yes, what you have?
Seems like a lot of people believe in the act of giving and the fact that there's a blessing that comes with it. I think part of it is also like in your mind that you feel better about yourself whenever you actually give of what you have and you don't keep it all to yourself.
Right. So our sister, for those online, mentioned that, you know, that even the world recognizes that giving is good. And that when you give, you know, it makes, you know, it makes us feel better when we're giving. We're taking care of a need. You know, we can see that taking care of someone and the, you know, even the look on their face or the appreciation they show, you know, it's kind of a humbling experience, you know. It can be. So, but that's something that even the world recognizes, that that giving is good. Have something, Gary?
I just put it, Dave Ramsey, I listen to a lot. We have, he always refers to exactly what she just said to Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, where it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you get it.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
Yeah. I put that scripture in the Proverbs 3, 9. Yeah, I had it up there.
Oh.
I was going fast. You probably missed it. But yeah, that Proverbs 3:9. You know, giving, when you give out, you'll receive. You know, and again, not necessarily monetary, but you will receive blessing from it. It's a, you know, and it's not even one to one blessing. It's, you know, I give and now I'm bursting forth. You know, it's even greater blessing than what we've given. So, Andy, what you have, sir? So we don't have anything written out that way. Now, when I was studying this, for those that are online, our brother Andy asked if there was a definition of where our tithing goes, if it goes to the general church, if it goes to the local. So when you look, most commentators will say, you know, that your tithing goes to your local church is what most commentators will tell you. I don't know that that's a requirement. Again, I don't think it's required anywhere that I can see. But if you go back to the Old Testament, they brought it to Jerusalem, right? So I guess that would, there was a, every 3 years, they had a couple different tithings they had to do, but all those tithings had to be brought to Jerusalem. So I guess that could be kind of a general church thing. But I don't think that it was required necessarily. But they also had other tithings and requirements of them where they had to, they had left a corner of their field. It was just for the poor. And so they let that grow, and the poor, that was part of their tithing, was you let this corner of your field grow so that those that can't eat, they can come eat, right? Taking care of people. And actually, when you added it all up, as much as 50% of a Jewish person's increase went back to the church in some way, either in tithes or offerings, you know, because they had to give offerings for, of, you know, of animals. They had to give offerings every, so they had, can't remember all of them, but there was three of them that they had to give. There was one annual, an every 3 year, and then I can't remember the other one. But they had to give a lot. And not just to the general church, but they had to give to needs. And so I don't know if there's an answer that's saying you have to give to. I guess, and this article doesn't say, it just says offerings to the church. I go to this local, so I don't think it's wrong if you give money to the local. If you want to give to the general church, I don't think that's wrong either. I think maybe what your conscience dictates might be good, or where the need is. But again, we're not limited at 10% either. We can give to both, because then that goes in an offering. And I believe the more, again, just like it says in these scriptures that I brought up, the more we give, the greater the blessing that we're going to receive. So, yes, sir. No, so for all those online, my brother asked, or made the statement, he goes, I don't see where time counts as tithing. And I too, when I read the scriptures, I don't see where time is counted as tithing either. If you think about it, we're supposed to live our lives for Christ. So all of our time should be spent, whether we're at work, whether we're at play, whatever we're doing, we should have the mind of Christ in us at all times. It's not a 10%, you know, time, in my opinion. It's an all the time. So no matter who you're coming across, you should be treating them in a Christian manner. So I've heard that argument before, like, hey, you need to tithe of your time. I'm like, then I'm giving less time, in theory. So, again, I got a whole bunch of hands. I think, Brother Hubert, I think I saw you first. Yes, they are.
Okay. From the general church goes out the ministry. The Church of Christ doesn't have a paid ministry. We don't believe in that. And they support, and they travel, they help them travel, they help them, and they do those things. The thing that goes into the main church is used for the work of the gospel throughout all the world. That's where that's used. To put people in the field, to help them, to do things, to help you meet people when you're out there and they need help, they give you help. They'll help you help them. They help you do those things. It's not just paying for utilities and stuff at your local or something like that, but that's what goes into the general church is used for the things that are essential to go throughout all the world. That's why he said it's going to go to the world. And then the end shall come. And so it's definitely used for the word of the gospel of Christ to send ministry out and to put them out to work and to teach and to preach the gospel. It's important. If they didn't have it, they couldn't send them out. So when it comes to the tithing is very crucial and very essential and very important, because that's what helps the church grow and go and help to feed people, help to take care of people, help to get them out of the hospital. It does all kinds of things. Something that you and I can't do. But the church does, because of the finances that we pay in, because of the tithing, which the Lord says we should have to pay in so those things can be done. Because there's a lot of things that can be done that we just local can't do. We can't afford it. There's no way. And so we have to think about that when we're thinking about things, like you said. We have to think about the things that have to go also to our church. Has to go to the church so the word of the gospel will continue and go forth. That's where it goes from.
So I'm going to try and encapsulate that. So my brother Hubert brought up that the general church pays for our ministry to go out, and it's important that they get that tithing because that's how we go out. And then, like it says in Article 17, that, you know, bringing all people to Jesus Christ through baptism. So it's important that they get it all out. I think, Mom, I saw your hand. Right, because that's where the missionary effort is paid for out of the general church funds. So, Pat, did I see a hand?
Yes, well, basically what they were saying, if everyone paid their tithing to their local and not the general church, we'd be in real trouble. The general church covers so many things that we can't cover in a local.
Yeah. So for those online, there are comments where, you know, the tithing goes to the general church, really forwards the work, and that's a priority. If we all paid to our local church, then that wouldn't get done. Although I do know that, excuse me, can't speak for all the locals, but I'm pretty sure that when they take in tithing, that a lot of that goes to the general church. But again, I can't speak for everybody. But I've heard that's what's happened at a lot of locals. They take in money from their congregation, and then they send it off, some of it off to back to the general church. So, again, can't speak for all, but I know that does happen. So, yes, sister.
I think it makes sense for it to go to the general local only because general church, sorry, general church, not local, only because otherwise some locals would have a big increase, and there probably end up being some kind of conflict between different locals and who has more funds and who gets to share the funds and which missionaries go to the field because they have more funds. And I think it keeps it from causing any kind of grievances between locals if it's just dictated from one head, because then places that have less, you know, wouldn't suffer than places that have more, and it might cause in the end conflict if it stayed in the local.
So my sister's brought up that if it all goes to the general church, they come and keep everybody on an even playing field, I guess, and there would be no disparity between locals, even if one local had a lot more. So if one local gave a lot because they were larger, they would have more money. Smaller locals wouldn't have that, and it would kind of be a disparity. But if it all goes to the general church, then that disparity kind of is removed. Yes?
I just had this conversation with somebody recently, so it's on my mind. I pay my 10% to the general church, but I don't have any more money to give the offerings to the local church, the local congregation. So, I mean, it really, to me, the whole thing comes to what you said several times. It's a matter of the heart. And I don't think that God's going to punish us if I don't give all my money to the general church or all my offerings to the local.
So my sister Michelle said that, you know, if we give all of our money to the general church, then and we don't have enough left over to give to the local church, and that can cause its own issues. And so, I mean, I would say, you know, if we have a need and you can fill the need, fill that need, right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with you know, taking your 10% and giving a portion here and giving a portion here. And again, we're not limited at 10% either. But if we have both general church and our local church have needs. And so they need to be taken care of. So, yes, Erica. Yeah. Well, you taught about tithing. So, but yeah, there, I mean, that's my sister, she brought up that it's just good to talk about these things so everybody knows that everything, all the things that need to be covered, right? So here we have general church needs and we have local church needs. And they all need to be accounted for and covered. So, yes, Brother Andy.
Everything goes to the general headquarters, and every local is given the money back to them by the general church. That's how they come up. I'm saying quite a lot. There are other ways around it. Like I said, I've always been raised to believe the general church got the tithing, the local church got the offerings. So one of the things that you really didn't talk a lot about, but I like to think about when we talk about tithing, is the why. Touched on it with it's a matter of the heart. You know, it's easy for me as a human to look at those in charge, at the bishopric, at the apostles, and say, well, I don't like what they're doing. I don't think I'm gonna pay my tithe. You see, that's a natural man thing to do. So why? In my heart, I don't pay my church, my tithing to the church. I pay it to the Lord. If the church misuses it, that's on them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the why behind it is that if it's a commandment of God, that I'm doing it because I want to fulfill from the heart my commandments that the Lord has given me. And I always say tithing. I believe that. And that if that's the case, then I can give it, and the church misuses it, they'll have to answer for it. But as far as where I stand with the Lord, I'll tell what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. So, my brother Andy said that, you know, the going into the why. Paying tithing, right? We pay our tithing because it's a commandment of the Lord. And as a men, sometimes we'll look at the bishopric, or we'll look at the apostles, and we don't appreciate what they're doing. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay my tithing, and I withhold it. And what we're doing really is we're, A, that speaks to our heart. You know, our heart has now become a little harder. And now we're withholding, you know, a blessing from ourselves is what we're doing. So any other comments? Yes, sir.
That promise, I will open you the windows of heaven. In my testimony in our lives, that applies because of our desire to serve God and to do those things that He's asked us to do from the heart. We've been able to see throughout the years how God has helped us in our lean periods of time in our lives. More prosperous. And so His word is true and faithful.
So, yes, Michelle.
The Lord said, I think every one of us in here has a million stories of blessings
And so I place the challenge to this person. You know, I challenge you to try this. Try giving the tithing, and I promise you I'm a walking blessing that he will take care of you. Just try it. I don't know if this person has or not, and it's not my place. I did my part, but
Well, thank you. All right. Well, that's what I have for this evening. And thank you for participating. Thank you for the conversation. Hopefully you learned something. And hopefully you can be able to, again, if for a question on this, you have something to go to where you can defend why we believe what we believe. So I'll turn it back over to my brother, Gary, and I wish you all a good evening and a good week.